God, I do pray for protection over our community. There are many, many, many struggling with COVID right now. And we just pray for your protection over everyone, God. And we just pray that this disease would be gone in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, this morning we are going to continue in Acts chapter 8. We're going to finish off Acts chapter 8. And I love the story today, this chunk of scripture that we're going through. It's the story of Philip who goes and encounters the Ethiopian eunuch. And so let's read this and then we'll talk about it. So Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning, seated in his carriage. He was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The man replied, "How can I, unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he was reading was this, and it's out of Isaiah 53. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" And he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. All right. There's some neat little things in this story, or in this chunk of scripture. An angel tells Philip where to go. I don't know about you, but I've never encountered an angel face to face, and I've never had an angel tell me to do something. And angels are all through the Bible. God uses them as messengers and different things. They have different roles. Why we don't see them, it seems like, as much today, I can't explain that. But what it does seem like is when an angel shows up and gives a message, it's very clear usually. Whenever you see it in the Bible, it's like, there's no like, I wonder if that was God or not. It was, here's where you go and here's what you do. And so I think it'd be pretty cool. He gets this message to go to this certain road. Do you want to go back to verse 26 there? Go down the desert road that runs south from Jerusalem. And so he starts out and he runs into this guy riding in a chariot. Now, he doesn't know this person from a hole in the ground. He just comes alongside. And this eunuch was obviously someone that very likely had converted to Judaism because he had gone to Jerusalem to worship and he was not from there. So he had traveled there to worship, was returning home. He was someone important because he was in a chariot. Not everybody got a chariot. And he's reading the Bible out loud. I thought that was odd until I was reading this week, and I guess apparently it was normal. People always read out loud back then. And so he was reading out loud, and the Holy Spirit tells Philip to go up to the chariot. And so he hears him reading, and he says, you know, "Do you understand what you're saying, what you're reading?" And I think it's kind of indicative of, this is sometimes how God wants to work in us. Have you ever noticed that out of the blue sometimes, the Lord just gives you the nudge or the prod or puts somebody on your heart to pick up the phone and call, or you see someone and you're like, I should just buy their groceries or pay for their gas or just tell them, ask them how they're doing, hear their heart today. Those are the ways sometimes that God speaks to us, and he wants to use us to encourage and help other people. Amen? I'll try these guys. God wants to use us, and he wants to speak to us, and he wants to partner with us. And so what I find interesting is sometimes all it takes is to be available and to be willing and to be listening and actually expect that the God of gods, the King of kings, actually wants to partner with you and I to make a difference and to actually help people. And so in order to do that, we have to be able to hear God and understand that he is trying to talk to us. The eunuch is reading Isaiah 53, which I think if we're honest, a lot of us struggle to understand fully when you read chunks of scripture like Isaiah. Many times you read it and go, what does this mean, right? And so the eunuch invites him up, and you know, there's a lot of people today calling people that don't have the same, I guess, beliefs as far as wearing a mask or getting a vaccine or all those types of things. Have you ever heard anybody getting called a sheep or sheeple lately? You know, I was thinking about that this week, and you know what's interesting is in the Bible, we're actually called sheep. And the Bible actually says that, you know what's amazing about a sheep is it can hear the voice of God. And so you and I are called to follow God. And if we are following him like a sheep follows a shepherd, we learn to get to know his voice and we can actually hear him. So it's not a bad thing. Let me ask you a question. How do you recognize God's voice in your life? I don't want to take long on this, but did you know that every single one of us is designed with the actual ability to hear God? God made us that way. He didn't make like some so they could hear and some so they just wandered blindly. He made it so that every single one of us could actually hear and recognize God's voice in our life. And I'll just give you a few thoughts before we move on. I think that we get to know God and his voice by actually spending time with him. Like light bulb. It's not rocket science. We just actually, it's like growing up when my mom phoned me and I picked up the phone and said hello, I recognize her voice. When my kids call me or my wife calls me, I recognize that voice. Why? Because I've spent time with them. I don't even have to see their face, but I recognize the sound of their voice. So I'll just give you this couple thoughts here. If you want to get to know God more, if you want to learn to hear his voice more, start with worship. Start by getting your eyes off of your own problem and your own mess and whatever struggles you've got and get your eyes on Jesus. And so worship him. Throw on a CD. YouTube is there until the commercial comes, but play YouTube, whatever you got to do, and spend some time just honoring God because it's not about you anyway. And when you get to that place where your heart is actually on him, it invites his presence and you're in a place now where it's way easier to hear. And then pray. Talk to him. Unload like he can take it. Talk to him about what you're frustrated with. Talk to him about what's good, what's bad. Talk to him about your hopes and dreams. And then take a minute to actually listen. Because prayer is not just about you talking, but it's also about him talking to you. Pick up the Bible and read it. And ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I don't know how many times I've just, because it's what I do every night before I go to bed. I read a chapter of the Bible or I read a scripture that he's put on my heart or whatever. And many times I have often caught myself failing to say, like, God, what are you saying to me through this? And it's like, what am I doing? I mean, the point is this is bread to us. This is spiritual food. And the Bible is alive. And we need to actually ask God, what are you saying to me through this? It's not just a text that we should just memorize for the sake of memorizing or read for the sake of reading, but it's his living word that speaks to us every day. Amen? So just some simple things like that will help you hear his voice. Hearing God's voice is not impossible, and it should not be rare. It is what we're designed to live in relationship with him, is to actually be able to hear him. And honestly, it is so, so rewarding as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, because I actually discover that God cares about me, and he's actually talking to me. And he has something to say about what I'm doing right now today. Do I hear his voice every second? No, I wish I did. But I do hear his voice. And I absolutely love it when I realize that God is wanting to partner with me with whatever is going on in that moment. So when you see someone who's hurt or sick or whatever, and you feel that urge in you to pray, that often is the Holy Spirit saying, pray, I want to do something. When you see someone and you're having a conversation with someone and they bring up things like, I don't know about that church stuff or God or whatever, and you feel in you like, oh man, I wish you knew about Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit going, open your mouth. Say something. I don't know how many times it's been so exciting to, you know, just you have a nudge from the Lord to just pick up the phone and call somebody. It's actually a lot of fun. Some days somebody will be on your heart, you phone them, you pray for them, and they're like, man, that was just the right timing. I just was struggling with this. I needed to hear from someone. Thank you for praying for me. Or you pray for someone because you randomly run into them and you're like, man, you look like you're hurting. Can I pray for you? Yeah. All of a sudden you're like, my pain is gone. That's awesome. That's just listening to what the Lord is asking us to do. Can anybody do that? Yeah. John 15 verse 4 says this, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. That is our number one job, is to stay connected to God. And we do it by worshiping him, by spending time with him, by pursuing him, by being available. And I pray as we go through the book of Acts, I really pray that you are encouraged and challenged, that the type of things that we see happening in the Bible are available to you and I today. That relationship that they walked in, the gifts, the expectancy that God was going to move, the urgency and the passion to see the lost come to know Jesus, that is for us today. God will and wants to use you and partner with you and transform you. And he will, if you ask. He does give us a heart for the lost. He does give us a heart to see sickness and disease go. He changes the way we look at things if we let him in. So back to our scripture, verse 30 and 31. Philip asks the eunuch, do you understand? You know, the Bible actually tells us that the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And it also says that iron sharpens iron. And do you know, when I read this, I thought, it just speaks to the importance that we need each other. This is why church is important. This is why small groups and just having people in our life that we can go to help us to grow. There are many times that you read things or maybe you wonder, is this God speaking to me? It is so important to be able to have someone to bounce it off of and say, like, is this God? Do you think? What do you think God's saying with this? Help me to understand. And we need each other to learn how to interpret God's word and apply what he's saying to our life. It's how we grow and it's how we mature. Amen? We're better together. So he's reading Isaiah 53. And it's verse 7 and 8 that he is reading. Did you know that Isaiah 53 is referred to roughly 85 times, I think it is, in the New Testament? Almost every verse out of Isaiah 53 is quoted in the New Testament or used in some way, and it all points to Jesus. All right? It all points to Jesus as being the Messiah, the one that Israel had been waiting for. And just like Stephen in the chapter before had given this great speech and tied all of Israel's history together and how it all pointed to Jesus, now the eunuch is reading scripture in the Old Testament that, again, is pointing to who Jesus was. He may have even heard that, you know, because it wasn't that far removed from when Jesus had been crucified, he may have had that in his mind, like, who was Jesus and how does this apply? Who is this speaking to? And so N.T. Wright says this in his commentary. He says, Isaiah was almost writing a job description in Isaiah 53, that he was talking about the way in which the one through whom the long night of Israel's exile would arrive at its new dawn, and when it's with its promise of blessing for the world. And then he goes on to say a new covenant in Isaiah 54, a new creation in Isaiah 55, and with that, a blessing even for outsiders and foreigners that we read about, even for eunuchs in Isaiah 56. So this guy is reading this, and he's wrestling with, how do I fit in this? Because he likely was someone from, we know he was from another country, likely was someone who gave his life to, wanted to become a Jew, and he converted to that, and he's saying, where does the Messiah come in fit, where do I fit in this? And now Philip comes along and begins to explain to him, the one you're looking for, the one we're talking about is Jesus. He has come and he's here. And that means that this is now available to you. That's why the eunuch is getting excited, because it begins to realize that he is accepted and welcomed into this covenant as well. You guys with me? And so he gets excited. There's, you know, I gotta say, from what I've read, it was common for different government officials and stuff that, you know, do you guys know what a eunuch is? Like, you have to be committed. I don't care what government job it is. You couldn't, like, there's no way. I don't care how good the benefits are. I'm not doing that. But this guy was sold out. He was committed not only to, I believe, his job, but also he was high up. He was an influential person, but he wanted to know the truth. And he was getting so excited at the realization that Jesus had come and that he was now welcomed as, okay, we understand he was from Ethiopia. So he was a black person, so someone from a different culture. He came from a different background, different religion, race, all that stuff. And he is now realizing, I belong. I am adopted into God's family. And I have all the promises that God has available to me. And guess what is available to you and I? That realization that we have when we invite Jesus into our life, it's like a light bulb moment, because all of a sudden we realize that God has cared for us from before the time we were even born. He knew about us, he had a plan for us, and he never stops loving us. And we are invited to take part in a relationship with him, and that he, even though he is so great and so mighty and so vast, actually cares about what you and I face today. So, no wonder that when the Ethiopian eunuch sees the water, he's like, hey, I want to get baptized. Let's do this. And so he goes in, and this is one of the stories that, you know, they often you refer to as speaking to the full immersion in baptism, is because they jumped right in the water. If it was just a sprinkling, Philip wouldn't have had to get in there either. But they dunk him. And so it's a celebration. And it's, I thought it was interesting, in the New Living, it actually skips verse 37. I don't know if you noticed that when we read it, but you can go back to that slide. He says, can I not be baptized? And they say there is some manuscripts that show that Philip challenged him and said, only if you believe with all of your heart. And he said, yes, I do. But it's not included. See, it goes 36 to 38. I never noticed that before till this week. I thought I couldn't count. And then I had to do some digging. But that's what they say was actually there. And so it's interesting that this eunuch, they say by tradition that he became the first evangelist in Ethiopia. Because he got saved, he discovered Jesus in his life. He got so excited about what had happened and what he was able to be a part of. And he went back and began to tell everyone in his country. So it's interesting, like the gospel is now spreading, okay? Back to the whole kind of picture of Acts, the beginning of the church. The gospel is now spreading beyond just Jerusalem, beyond just the surrounding area. Remember how in Acts 1:8, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and they would receive power and that they would go where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it's interesting because just earlier in Acts chapter 8 last week, we talked about how Philip went to Samaria, right? And they used to say at this point in time that Ethiopia was like the end of the earth. It was the extent, it was like the outside edge where nobody wanted to live because it was hot. I mean, it was desert, right? And so it's interesting what would have been going on probably in their minds too, that, hey, the gospel is spreading. The Samaritans are just getting saved. And the apostles went to confirm it, and they're like, yep, the gospel is coming, the Holy Spirit fell on them, and now here's an Ethiopian from the edge of the earth going and bringing the gospel. And so the gospel is spreading, and I want to pause here. Philip, I think, is a beautiful example of the way that God wants to use us in evangelism. In fact, if I could just say anything, it's like he was obedient and he was available. Did you know that every single one of us is called to be an evangelist in the sense that we are all called to make disciples? And people can't become a disciple if they don't hear about the good news of Jesus. They can't become a follower unless someone tells them. And if we don't tell them, then who will? I feel like the North American church has to get this figured out, because we talk about a lot of strategy and we talk about a lot of things, but at the end of the day, we have to learn to share our faith with people. I'm part of our district executive team, and I, you know, they've been talking about lots of different things, church planning and different things. And I asked the question, where are the actual evangelists anymore? Where are the people that just go and lead people to Jesus all the time? My dad is one of the few people that I know that consistently over the years has shared his faith everywhere he goes with. I mean, if you talk to my dad for more than 5 minutes and you don't know Jesus, you're going to hear about it. That's an example for us. And I'll be the first to admit, sometimes I feel like, well, that's awkward. That's not me. I don't want to feel pushy. And then you realize, but I'm actually called to do this, whether I feel like it or not, or look like it, want to or not. You know, like it's what we're called to do. And a lot of things are said without us actually doing anything by the way we live, right? But we also do need to tell people about Jesus. The Bible gives us pictures too, like we're called to be ambassadors. Remember that terminology? That means we represent Jesus whatever we do, wherever we go. And so sometimes, you know, in earlier in Acts chapter 8, last week we talked about how Philip went to Samaria. He was preaching to crowds. And sometimes it is preaching to groups of people, standing up. But most often it's one-on-one, just like Philip going to the eunuch. And many times I believe that God actually gives us a nudge. He opens a door to a neighbor, to a coworker, to a friend, and opens the door and gives opportunity for us to actually speak up and just share hope with them. It's scary, and we aren't always received well when we do that, but honestly, it's generally easier than you might think. The Holy Spirit promises to give us the words that we need in the moment. Many times it's just us being courageous enough to open our mouth and say, can I tell you about what Jesus has done in my life? Can I tell you about what I believe? And that's why, you know, it's so important that you understand your history with God. It's His story in you, right? And that you're able to share that. It's what God has done in you is unique to you. And how He's revealed Himself to you, what He's done in your life is totally unique to you and who you are. And so you have something to share that I can't. And I have something to share that you can't. And that will connect with different people in different ways. And we need to understand that what you have is special because God did it in you and you alone. He met with you at a certain moment. He broke in when you needed Him. When you reached out and cried out to Him, God answered. What circumstance? How did that happen in your life? How did you discover that you were lost and needed a Savior? Do you even remember, some of you? Like, it's been 20, 30, 40, 50 years, right? For some people. But if I were to ask you, why do you go to church? Why do you believe in Jesus? What's your answer? Let me put it to you this way. When was the last time that you communicated your faith to someone else? I'll say it again. Disciples cannot be made unless we share the gospel. And Jesus' call to all His disciples, all the people following Him when He left, was go and make disciples. So it's not just for the person with the gift of evangelism. We talk about special gifts, you know. There are people who I believe are very specially enabled to do some of those things, but every single one of us is called to tell people about Jesus. The only way you can make a disciple is by telling them. Are you guys okay? I remember when I was in Bible college, we went to the Billy Graham School of Evangelism, and it was in Banff, and it was fun. It was a nice, neat thing we got to go to. They had great speakers in. We skipped some stuff and went hiking and did all that kind of stuff. But I remember one of the services I was in, the guy got up and he said, you know, when people come to me and they're depressed and they want counseling for depression, he said, the first thing I do, I stop them before they even describe why they're depressed. And I say, go and tell the first three or four people you see when you walk out the door about Jesus. And then come back and talk to me about whether you're still depressed. And he said, they never did. And he said, there's something that comes alive in us when we actually share our faith. And I thought, it's true. Like, we get so focused on ourselves, we can get down and discouraged and in despair. When we go and remind ourselves of who Jesus is and go share the hope and the love that we have, it breaks that off. Sometimes sharing our testimony is more impacting on us than on the people we share it with. So let me just challenge you with this. Practice it. Practice being able to share your faith with someone in 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Practice just being able to communicate so that when the time comes, you're ready. Be open, be available. Just like Philip, be willing to step out and obey. It does come with a risk. It's not always easy. But it's what we're called to do. We talk about the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit all through the book of Acts. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to fill us and enable us to be able to do this. Jesus felt it was so important that he told his followers to what? To wait until they were filled, to wait for the Holy Spirit to come before they began ministry. Why would it be any different for us? Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of the main gifts, the Holy Spirit comes to give us boldness and courage to be a witness. And so we need him. It is hard. It's impossible to do on our own. We need to partner with the Holy Spirit. He's the one that prepares a heart to receive the good news. He's the one that does all the work. We just partner with him and open our mouth. So here's five things, just really practical things that I think about when I think of evangelism. You can throw them up there. When you go to share your faith with somebody, trust that Jesus is with you and trust that his promises are always yes and amen, that he is who he says he is, right? I hope you believe it if you're going to share it. Ask questions like Philip did, like, you know, do you understand what you're reading? He's trying to get a gauge of what's on your heart. Where are you at with this? When you're talking to someone and you go to talk about Jesus, find out where they're at. Find out what their struggles are. Find out what they're wondering about. Find out, you know, where is their heart at? It helps you in how you share what you believe and your experience with them. And then try and get them to ask. You know, let them ask questions. Don't just unload like for 25 minutes and then say, hey, you want to pray now? Like, let them wrestle with what you're actually saying and let them ask questions. And you might not have the answer, and that's okay. It might feel scary in the moment, but just be like, you know what? I'll get back to you about that. I'm not 100% sure. You don't want them to feel lost and confused. You want to bring hope and actually show them what's real. And share your story. Share your testimony. Again, it's incredibly powerful. The testimony that God has given you. And then pray for them. Pray for them to receive the Lord. Pray for them to encounter him. Pray for them to experience his peace, his love, his joy. I don't know how many times I have, you know, talked with someone about God. They may have had some questions. And then I always say, can I pray for you? And it's amazing how many times when you pray for them, they go, ah. They might not have even totally understood what I said, but they received the prayer. And they realize, oh yeah, okay, there's something there. And it opens the door for more conversation. Revelation 12, verse 11, I forgot to mention this earlier, but it says that they overcame the enemy or the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. So we need to actually use it. It's an important tool that God gives us. All right? All right, so to finish off this story today, in Acts 8, I also thought it was funny when I was reading this. You know that there's an instance of teleportation in the Bible. Like, God was doing it long before video games were, or movies were. And I can't explain it. I think it would be kind of neat to have, again, this is like the angel thing. I'm like, okay, Lord, like, it happened, and this stuff was available to us. I think it'd be fun. Like, if you want to try it with me sometime, that'd be cool. But I you know, and you also have to ask the question, well, why is that here? Like, I don't get it. It's also, there's an example of it in Ezekiel 3. We won't read it, but you can throw it up there if you want. Again, of teleportation in the Bible, verses 12 to 15. I think it points to the fact that there's literally nothing impossible with God. And he has the ability to put us in the right place at just the right time whenever he wants to. And if that means picking you up and plopping you 40 miles down the road or whatever, he'll do it. And it seems bizarre, but it's in the Bible more than once. So I find that interesting. I don't even know what to say with that other than that. It's there. And I don't know anybody that's been teleported, but I'll be the first candidate if God wants. I think it'd be pretty cool. All right, I'm going to end with this thought. One of the things that we see in the Bible as almost like the path of growth. When you become a Christian, when you give your heart to Jesus, is baptism. And we see that, the eunuch knew that part of the, it was like, probably to become a Jew as well, when he converted, he would have had to have been baptized as well. And so he's probably familiar with the whole idea, but the practice of baptism is something that we are actually called to do. It's not just like, well, that's a nice thing if you ever feel like getting wet one day. But when you give your heart to Jesus, it is something we're called to do, to publicly declare our faith to the rest of the world. And so if you haven't been baptized, I just encourage you to do it. The Bible tells us to be baptized. Baptism is, it's something where it shows that it's symbolic on the outside, but it's very real on the inside, that he is washing away the old sinful nature and creating us anew. It speaks to us being adopted into his family and having a new nature. And you know, in Roman times, did you know that you could actually disown a son or a daughter, but if you were adopted, you were committed to them for life. You could not disown someone that was adopted. Very interesting. And so when the Bible speaks to us being adopted into God's family, he's saying that there's no way that he could ever disown you or I. And when we're baptized, we're coming into his family, having full access to all that he has for us. You and I get to share in the Father's inheritance, which is pretty amazing. And so it's more than just an outward sign, but it also is showing what God is doing on the inside. Amen? We've shared the story of Shay's baptism many times, but it's one of my favorite. Shay Anderson used to live here. He's a pastor in Edmonton now. And he came up to get prayer for being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Maybe even more than once. And felt like nothing happened. He went home and was sitting there and realized he hadn't been water baptized. So he felt like he should do it. He went and filled a bowl and dunked it on himself. Okay? Just a simple act of faith, like, I need to get this done to be obedient. So he went and did it. He just baptized himself, and then he said immediately he began to speak in tongues. It's wild. But that's just simple faith, just responding to God. And, you know, that's what he wants to do. I want to pray this morning for all of us to have the boldness that Philip had, to go and to be willing to be used by the Lord, to be open and to be a witness. I really, really, really believe that there is no special magic formula to seeing revival or this area being transformed with the gospel. It is going to happen through, guess who? You and I, sharing our faith. And if we're not going to do that, then the message, the kingdom of God, will not grow here. Plain and simple. So I want to pray for us to have the courage to share with people, because we don't have anything to hide. We're not trying to sell them so we get something. We need to do it because we actually love people and want them to experience the hope and the life and the peace and the joy and all the things that are available that we experience now. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for every single one here. I thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have to partner with you and do life together. I thank you, Lord, that you're not just up in the sky somewhere, some abstract idea or concept, but you are actually near to us and you're close to us. We can actually know your voice, and I'm so thankful for that, God. And I pray, Lord, that that you would help us to do and be the people you've called us to be, to do the things you've called us to do, which is to go and make disciples. So I pray, Lord, that we would have a heart for those around us who don't know you. I pray that you'd give us boldness and courage. I pray that we would be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and full of passion for those around us, to have the courage to go and open our mouths, be available and obedient to you. It doesn't mean that we have to yell at every person that walks by, but that we can be sensitive to what you're saying, because Lord, you're preparing hearts. You're preparing hearts to hear from you. So I pray for courage, and I pray for a desire to see people saved. I just want to encourage you this morning, if you can think of, even just pray, God, is there anybody this week that you would like me to try and reach out to? God, is there anybody in my life that you're working on their heart right now, and I just need to pick up the phone and call them or take them for coffee or whatever? God, how do I be a light for you this week? Earlier this summer, I was really struggling and feeling overwhelmed with a lot of stuff that needed done. And out of the blue, somebody phoned me and said, can I talk to you? And so they came and they shared about how they're struggling with a bunch of stuff. And I was like, can I just tell you my story? Can I tell you why I believe in Jesus? And I shared with them and they gave their heart to the Lord. And I remember they left excited, but I left even more excited. It was like all the feeling of overwhelm, you know, the pressure. It was just like, oh, and it was like, yeah, God, I just reminded myself of who you are. And maybe today you just need to remind yourself of who Jesus is in your life and what he's done. He is so good and so faithful and so kind. It's not some abstract thing. You can have relationship with him. You can know him. So Lord, I pray, and I just invite you, you know, if God puts somebody on your heart, try and make a purpose of actually talking with them, connecting with them this week. And can we do one other thing before we go? Would you just put your hands in front of you? Just invite the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come to fill me because I know I need you. I know I need to have a relationship with you. I know I need to be filled by you so that I can do all that you've called me to do. So I pray that you'd equip me and fill me and use me, God. I invite you to baptize me. And that does mean that we have to surrender our heart. It means we have to give him everything. We have to die to ourselves and make room for him. But Holy Spirit, we invite you to come, to baptize us with fire, to fill us, Holy Spirit. Fill us again and again and again. More than anything, Lord, we need to be filled with you. So Holy Spirit, I invite you to come. Equip us, God, to be a witness. Equip us to be evangelists. Equip us, Lord, to have confidence and courage and boldness to share the truth of who you are wherever we go this week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Have an amazing week. If you want prayer, feel free to stay. Be happy to pray with you. Otherwise, have an amazing day.